From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the power of ESP. First of all, happy Rosh Hashanah to those of you of the Jewish faith. I hope you have an enjoyable season. Here's what's happening. Since being discovered in the country of Colombia in January, the MU variant of COVID-19 has now spread to nearly four dozen countries and has made its presence known in Hawaii and Alaska. It has so far been found in 49 states, with Nebraska so far being the only state to not have this variant case detected. Health officials believe the MU is even more transmittable than the Delta variant and has the potential to resist all vaccines. As we reported back in 2019, there were reports that we had helped fund the Wuhan viral lab. Remember that story? Well, now newly released documents provide details of U.S.-funded research on several types of coronavirus at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. The Intercept has obtained more than 900 pages of documents detailing the work of EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S.-based health organization that used federal money to fund bat coronavirus research at that Chinese laboratory. The documents include two previously unpublished grant proposals that were funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, as well as project updates relating to the EcoHealth Alliance's research, which has been scrutinized amid increased interest in the origins of the pandemic. Meanwhile, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, and I do believe a hero, says newly public documents revealing the extent of U.S. funding of this coronavirus research center in Wuhan, China, show that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases head, Dr. Anthony Fauci, lied during his previous testimony to Congress. Fauci has adamantly denied that the National Institute of Health funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Rand Paul blasted Fauci in a Tuesday tweet saying that the director had lied again. And, of course, if you lie before Congress, that's a criminal offense. President Biden will address Americans on Thursday on his next steps that he and his administration will take to combat the coronavirus. This is the worst pandemic to sweep the globe in a century. The president's speech, where he's expected to detail a six-pronged strategy, comes amid a surge this summer in the COVID-19 cases due to a swift spread across the U.S. of this highly infectious Delta variant, and now the MU. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolonist.com. John, if this is true about Fauci, he ought to be fired and put away.
You know that about our old grandpa Fauci, our octogenarian, basically, that knows how to spin, to prevaricate, to turn common sense on its head, to just plain out lie with a smile on his face and accuse everybody else of lying. This man, this is the same guy that's been spewing Chinese communist propaganda from day one in this crisis. And his buddy, Peter Daszak, that he's funded for over $13 million, 3.1 to 3.4, has been dedicated by EcoHealth Alliance, that's Daszak's group, for bat coronavirus research. $600,000 have gone directly to the head virologist, the head of a bioweapons lab at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Dr. Xi Zhengli. Okay, now here's the irony, George, because Daszak was the first one to write in the British Medical Journal. He was the first one with 18 other scientists that were rubber stamping a letter saying that the bat coronavirus was a natural occurring phenomenon. It was not a lab leak that caused this. Now, that's the same Peter Daszak that was on the lead of the World Health Organization's investigation into the origin of the virus that they reported on back in March. Now, this conspiracy is monstrous. Do you know that the Chinese cannot keep their story straight about anything? And Avril Haines, we know who she is, right? The director of national intelligence, mm-hmm. that was commissioned ordered by Joe Biden on the 26th of May to get to the bottom of the origin of the virus. Avril Haines knows that Dr. Anthony Fauci said nothing when the Chinese Communist Party spokesman said 2 days after WHO declared the pandemic, that's over, you know, a year and a quarter ago, March 13th, 2020, he said that the virus was made in America and the virus was planted by the U.S. military in China. That same Chinese official said on the 26th of May that the virus was made in Fort Detrick, Maryland, in a bioweapons lab, and then exported to China. Fauci says nothing about those Chinese government reports. Yet we know that the Chinese government sealed that lab off, they scrubbed it clean, and they are engaged in the massive cover-up because that virus was not from nature. It could have never been from nature, George, because that virus was nothing like the SARS-1 virus that infected 8,000 people, not almost 5 million, and only killed 700 back in 2003. In order to leap to the 5 million deaths and the, or 5 million, excuse me, cases, and the 4.5 million deaths that has taken place, I mean, with this coronavirus too, it had to be engineered in a laboratory.
Of course.
And one of the leading scientists from the University of North Carolina, his name is Ralph Baric, has admitted to being in the Wuhan lab with Xi Zheng Li, injecting those harmless bat coronaviruses with angiotensin II, a powerful blood pressure medication, making the viruses highly infectious to human beings. And yet, you know, Avril Haines, the DNI, says that she doesn't have enough information to be able to say that the origin of that virus is almost 100% sure to be that bioweapons lab.
Well, and as you recall, John, back in December of 2019, I said on this very program that, one, the virus came from the Wuhan lab, and two, we helped participate and funded that lab way before anybody was talking about it. And we need to get into a criminal investigation into this situation, because if Anthony Fauci did lie before Congress, folks, he needs to be put away. We shall see. Well, it's been a volatile day for Bitcoin, which briefly fell by 10% below the 43,000 mark. The drop comes after El Salvador made good on a plan announced in June. It adopted the cryptocurrency as a legal tender, making it the first country in the world to do so. Investment advisor Charles Koppus with us. Charles, what do you think about Bitcoin at this point?
Well, we kind of saw this coming, you know, 10% down from just yesterday. Again, we see volatility in the cryptos. In this case, you point out the president of El Salvador, he's a young millennial, by the way, and he announced in June they want to make Bitcoin legal tender. Well, that's what they did yesterday. It sounds like a classic buy the rumor, you know, sell the news, because Bitcoin was up since June 50%, you know, based pretty much on what that guy said. So this is how the market works. And why'd they do this? Again, he's a young millennial. He rules like a dictator now, and he really likes Bitcoin. So in 2001, they adopted the U.S. dollar for stability, but now they're favoring the Bitcoin over the U.S. dollar for political reasons, U.S. imperialism and so on.
Is it going to grow?
What's that?
People going to continue doing this worldwide, or do you think it's going to stay?
Nobody knows how this is going to end. You know, it's also being used to promote more cash in the economy, because most people there rely on support from abroad, remittance, foreign direct investment, whatever. And they're even promoting their own digital wallet, encouraging people. But, you know, the big question, George, is how will this work? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
You know, 70% don't have a bank account. 60% have no internet. Most live in poverty. There aren't enough ATMs. A recent survey found that most have no intention of using Bitcoin. In fact, right now on Drudge Report, you can see it, people are protesting in the streets. So, you know, it's just too volatile. It's unstable. We've talked about this before. Moody has now downgraded their bonds in July. and the IMF and the central banks are now warning about illicit activity. They're going to keep that up because they want to control the monetary system, you know, during a reset that's coming. Someday we'll talk about that. And, you know, they're just going to continue to drive this out, tax it, regulate it, whatever. Warren Buffett, he calls these cryptos like rat poison. You know, I'm a gold and silver guy. I'm just going to stick with what I know. That's why.
Probably safer. All right, my friend. And how do people get that newsletter?
Well, they can go to IDP Consulting Group, scroll to the bottom, and they can get the free newsletter there.
You got it. Thanks. Exactly. Always good to talk to you, Charles Kappas. Well, up next, Dr. Joel Wallach joins us from criticalhealthnews.com. Let's set another record. So here's the website to go to. Just peruse it. criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com, and write down this toll-free number to call because these folks are listening to Doc Wallach talking, and they will be able to tell you if you miss what he said when you call this number, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Up next, Dr. Joel Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And we're back with Dr. Joel Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com. Again, that's the website to go to. Peruse it. Download the free app in the App Store, criticalhealthnews.com. Dr. Wallach's research has resulted in the publication of a number of peer-reviewed and refereed journal articles in the fields of nutrition and pharmaceutical research. Dr. Joel Wallach back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Doc, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, George. You are the greatest, as always. Thank you so much for your hospitality.
Our dear friend, MZ, the owner of our affiliate in Santa Cruz, California, KSCO, called me and says, you got to talk to Doc about something. And I said, what, MZ? What? Of course. I got a whole list of stuff. He said, no, you got to talk to Doc about the fires we're having here in California. So let me just give out some facts first and then talk to you about this for just a moment, Doc. Explosive wildfire season, folks, in California. More than 1 million acres have already burned this year alone. It's still short of the unprecedented 2020 fire season. The Calder Fire is burning near Lake Tahoe. The Dixie Fire near Chico, California. It's all over the place. Winds are spreading it. 40-mile-an-hour winds are keeping this going. And MZ told me you had some idea about what's going on.
Well, this goes back to, I don't know, maybe 600 million years ago, okay?
Whoa!
Yeah, this is very, very simple stuff, and people have kind of disregarded this material. You're familiar with these mass extinctions back maybe 600-700 million years ago.
Yes.
When there was a dozen of them, the five big ones, there were thousands of species of animals and prohominids, 12 different prehumans, that died in these big events, okay? And we're talking about mass extinctions. And everybody says, oh, it was, you know, carbon stuff, it's just carbon killing everybody. And that's not true. Basically, what happens is the same thing that's happening in Lake Tahoe. It's all a nutritional problem in the environment. And we'll start with Lake Tahoe and go backwards.
All right.
Okay. Now, Lake Tahoe, you know, has so much algae in it right now. You can walk across it like on the surface like Jesus. There's so much algae in
Lake Tahoe. That was his secret, huh?
Yeah. Okay, there's so much algae in there. It's a big contaminant. Well, algae has a big function. Algae is involved with the life of reefs. It provides the oxygen and the nutrition to the polyps that make the reefs. Algae is required to make oxygen for the oceans. And now we have 400 dead zones. The biggest one is in the Arabian Sea, which has 63,000 square miles of dead zone. The second largest one is in the Gulf of Mexico, 6,000 square miles of dead zone. The newest one of the 401 is on the west coast of Oregon, and I know what's going on there. I'll tell you about that in a second. But what's happening in Lake Tahoe is the same thing. Now, if you look at the fires, I only have seen this on television. Now, when I was a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout, Explorer Scout, for probably 12, 15 years, every year we would help the firefighters fight the wildfires and the prairie fires and the forest fires in Missouri and Illinois and that
right.
kind of stuff. So
right.
I know what forest fires look like. Usually the brush and the leaves and the floor of the forest is what burns. When you look at these films of the Lake Tahoe fire, what you see, the crown of the trees are burning, and 50 to 100 feet above the crown of the trees, there's these big balls of fire.
Huge.
Huge, yeah. Totally different than the typical forest fire. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Well, here's what happened. I'm reading, I'm doing research and everything, and I come across it, and sure enough, again, it's the algae thing. Algae is required to turn carbon dioxide into oxygen and carbon chains to make amino acids and sugar and carbohydrates and fiber and hormones and all the things that the plant makes or uses carbon for. Plus, you know, it breaks down the carbon dioxide into these carbon chains and oxygen.
Right. Which we need.
Which we need. Okay. We are aerobic animals. Now, here is the secret for all time, going back to the beginning of time, to the future. Algae requires 20 nutrients for these series of reactions for photosynthesis to work. When you talk about photosynthesis in schools, first thing they teach kids in kindergarten and first grade up to sixth grade is photosynthesis requires the sunlight. It requires chlorophyll, and then it makes sugar and oxygen. That's what they tell kids. That's all they know. They don't know that photosynthesis requires 20 nutrients.
That's a lot.
Well, yeah. And I can rattle them off for you if you want.
No, that's okay. That's
okay.
Right.
You want me to rattle them off?
No, that's all right.
But there's 20 nutrients. Okay, there's 11 macronutrients and 9 micronutrients, okay? And these are all a mixture of minerals and vitamins and amino acids and all kinds of stuff, right? But the plants need them. If any one of them is missing or if any of them is low, the plant cannot do photosynthesis, and the carbon dioxide goes up.
And then the fires start.
Well, when the fire starts, okay, the carbon dioxide will burn. That's why it's burning 50 feet above the crown of the trees, because it's the carbon dioxide in the air that's burning. Now, what about global warming? Well, that goes back to the beginning of time, and it's kind of like a parked car in a parking lot with the windows rolled up on a summer day. The sun's rays go through the windows, but the heat cannot leave
the other direction.
So
right.
It can't get out, and so it builds up heat in the car, and it'll fry your kid and your dog and all that kind of stuff. Okay, well, the same thing is true with the carbon dioxide gas. It forms a sheet over the earth, and so the sun's rays go through it, but it can't get out, and so that's global warming. And so why is the carbon dioxide going up? Is it because of fossil fuels? No. How many fossil fuels were there 500,000 years ago?
So what's your recommendation?
Okay, well let me tell you one more thing. I said 500,000. It was 500 million years ago. 500 million years ago, George, all the algae on Earth died and became coal. 83% of all coal is from algae. The other 17% comes from peat moss, which followed algae when the algae all died. Well, why did the algae all die? Well, the algae all died because the glaciers cut off the food supply to the swamps, which the algae was in, because the earth was covered with a lot of swamps. Those were the first places where oxygen was made in the swamps.
So those nutrients that were supposed to flow never got there.
Never got there. Well, where are those nutrients coming from? Well, those nutrients, okay, particularly the minerals, were dammed up by moraines, which are the dams that glaciers make. And all of these mass die-offs, all of these mass extinctions, all of these terrible events all through history, including the things going on now with our reefs, all has to do with a lack of these nutrients so that the algae cannot make oxygen and carbon chains. Okay? Well, the same thing happened when the moraines 400 or 500 million years ago blocked off all the minerals going into the swamps and the lakes and the ponds and the rivers and killed all the algae, and they became coal. 83% of all coal is from algae. 17% of the coal is a follow-up plant called peat moss, P-A-T moss, okay? And so this is crazy when you think about it. The same thing is happening whether it's a man-made dam, like when we kill all the reefs, like they're doing on the eastern shores of Queensland, Australia, killing the center part of the Great Barrier Reef. The Great Barrier Reef is made up of 2,600 small reefs and about 300 small islands. They have 183 dams and reservoirs on the east coast of Queensland, shut off all the food supply to the center part of the Great Barrier Reef. The northern 25% and the 25% in the southern part are doing fine because...
All right, hold on, Doc. We're at the break already. We'll come back and finish up talking about what your plan is, and then we'll take calls as we begin CriticalHealthNews.com's calls for you to build up your health. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're back with Dr. Joel Wallach at CriticalHealthNews.com. And again, the toll-free number to call for assistance once he gets rolling here is 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Doc, let's wrap up talking about these wildfires. So you're talking about the algae and the lack of nutrients that contribute to the fires. How do you replenish that?
Okay, well, to finish, you were right on track there. Because what happened was, why we were having this unique fire with these big balls of fire above the crowns of the trees in Lake Tahoe and everything? Well, that's because of all this algae in the lake. It was dormant because hundreds of miles north of Lake Tahoe, are these glaciers and snowpacks and moraines, which are these dams made by the glaciers pushing all this mud and silt in front of it, right? And we had a big melt about 2 months ago. And all those minerals were released in the surface groundwater, washed into Lake Tahoe, giving all that algae all those minerals, and suddenly they turned all the carbon dioxide in the lake and the carbon dioxide in the air above the lake into oxygen. And it's the oxygen driving that Lake Tahoe fire that the firefighters can't figure out how to deal with it. Now, when the fire gets 50 miles north of the lake, they can handle it because the oxygen doesn't go that far. That's what you're saying. They're able to handle it now because the fires move way north of the lake because it doesn't have the oxygen anymore. It's weird, but that's the true story. Okay, now, to follow up your question, what do we do about all this?
Yeah.
Okay, two things. Number one, we need to take our 90 essential nutrients to guarantee our every cell in our body, every tissue, every organ in our body gets what it needs to maintain itself, protect itself, repair itself, replace the dead cells. You know, our cells don't live forever. They have a lifespan. When they die, you need to build a new one. So you need these 90 essential nutrients. That's why we have the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack and the Healthy Start Pack and that kind of stuff. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 3 fatty acids. That's what all living creatures require, whether you're a trilobite or an elephant. Okay? And so then we also want to have what we call victory gardens. You're probably not old enough to remember victory gardens from the
I think I remember my parents talking about that.
Yeah. And so everybody had to have a little bit of a garden because we were shipping all the food to Europe, which were starving to death, and shipping all the food to our soldiers and sailors and airmen all over the world. And so everybody had to have a little garden. Well, even if you live in an apartment building, you have a couple of half barrels on your porch and fill it up with potting soil. And then use our Blooming Minerals, which has 75 minerals in it, and grow some tomatoes and bell peppers and onions and cucumbers and squash and things like that. And you're going to get these minerals from your oral supplementation. You're going to get these minerals from putting them in the soil that you're growing your garden in your apartment. You know, I live on 5 acres, and so I have about a half-acre garden, which we grow all the things we just spoke of. We have a little bit of an orchard with about 6 different fruit trees, from pomegranates to bananas and oranges and apples and that kind of stuff, pears. And so we fertilize it with this Bloomin' Minerals. It has 75 minerals in it. And, of course, I've been gluten-free so I can maximize my absorption of minerals for 74 years. I've been taking the 90 essential nutrients for 74 years. And I'm 82, and most people, when they look at me, they think I'm 50 because I don't look like an 82-year-old guy.
Or 53. Like 53, Doc.
53. Okay. And so if everybody does that, if everybody, they get on auto ship, I'll pay the shipping. They get on auto ship, I pay the shipping.
All right, but I still don't understand where you're headed, though, with the wildfires and the nutrients. I mean, how do you avoid that?
Oh, that's easy. Okay, it's very, very easy. What we have to do is make sure that we're fertilizing all of the lakes and rivers and swamps because we don't want to make any more coal. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be making too much oxygen and forcing all these wildfires to make big balls of fire above the crest of the trees, the crown of the trees. We don't want to have mass extinctions like we did. We don't want more dead zones. We don't want our reefs dying. And see, our problem, our personal problems, human problems, is our immune systems require the 90 essential nutrients. And if you're not supplementing and you're eating gluten, wheat, butter, and oats, your intestines die. And there's very little food nutrients in our food because farmers don't get paid by the nutritional value of foods, George. They get paid by tons of bushels. Commercial fertilizer, whether it's for corn or wheat or pears or whatever it might be, or squash or celery, has three nutrients in it, NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, because it drives growth. They get paid by tons and bushels, and so that's what they're going for. Now, they give their livestock minerals and little alfalfa pellets because they don't have health insurance for livestock, and they don't want the veterinarian coming out there every week to treat all these diseases. I'm the guy who got rid of cystic fibrosis. I'm the guy who got rid of muscular dystrophy. I'm the guy who got rid of sudden death syndrome. And you and I are going to be the two guys who are going to get rid of all these problems with the global warming.
If they do it.
If they do it, because global warming is caused by nutritional deficiencies of the algae.
But you're saying dump fertilizer in the lakes?
Yeah.
It, like, just spread it all over the place or what?
Well, see, I like the shallow areas. This is where the algae grows because algae requires sunlight. Out in the deep parts of the lakes, just like Lake Tahoe. The deepest parts of Lake Tahoe are like 1,400 feet deep, okay? And there's no algae there. The algae is they're all in the shallower portions of the lake, all around the shores and everything. And this is why the reefs grow in the shallow areas.
Interesting.
Because the algae requires the sunlight to make oxygen for the reef polyps, so the reef polyps can make and maintain the reefs.
I'd love to hear some forestry experts listen to you and check in. Maybe they can react to that. That's fascinating.
See, they're always dealing with a symptom, just like a medical doctor. You have arthritis, he gives you pain relievers and cortisone, prednisone relief symptoms. And you know, I love my doctor. I'm going to leave everything in my will to my doctor because he relieved my pain after 20 years. But he didn't get rid of the arthritis. He just relieved your symptoms. Well, that's what forest fires are happening. That's where all these foresters, and what they do is they deal with the fire. They don't prevent the production of too much oxygen. They don't prevent the production of proper nutrients to plants so that they don't provide too much carbon dioxide in the air. They have to utilize that carbon dioxide to make fiber and that sort of stuff, and sugar and carbohydrates and amino acids. But they can't do that without the minerals, the cofactors, those 20 different nutrients that plants require for photosynthesis.
Sounds like we all need it, doesn't it?
We all need it. And so we need our Victory Gardens. We need to be taking our 90 essential nutrients. And, again, we have 40-pound bags of these plant minerals. They actually come from old dead reefs from the ocean, these plant minerals. They're literally billions of years old, these plant minerals. And we get them from the Himalayan mountains and the Himalayan pink salt and all that kind of stuff. And this is something that people knew a long time ago. They knew that they could take and give people algae and their goiter would go away. Now, this is 2,000 years ago.
I take blue algae.
Well, there you go.
And,
that's good for you.
I got it from you.
Now, have you ever heard of the 10 plagues in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, those were all caused by...
Deficiencies.
By deficiencies, exactly.
Let me ask you a health question. They're lining up to talk to you, so I want you to give our audience your pointers again. They came out with a study a couple days ago that said to avoid serious heart issues, take 7,000 steps a day. Not 5,000, not 10,000. They said 7,000 steps a day will avoid all kinds of heart issues. What do they mean by that?
Well, they think that exercise is good for you. I actually have two CDs that everybody needs to listen to. One is Exercise Without Supplementation is Suicide. The other one is Only Dead Athletes Don't Lie. Okay? And so exercise is a killer. Exercise is a killer.
How so?
Okay. Well, you burn fuel. You produce waste product. You produce carbon dioxide. If you don't have the ability to have enough oxygen and good circulation, your kidneys are working, your heart's working, your liver's working, your lungs are working, you're going to die. 500 young athletes that die every year in America from hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, heart disease, sudden heart death that young athletes die from.
They just keel over. Yeah.
Yeah, they just keel over during the workout or after they're working out in the shower. It's a deficiency of a single nutrient. Now, Dr. Milan and I, with her connections in China, we went to Heilongjiang Province and Keishan University, and we did 1,700 autopsies on kids under the age of 10.
Don't go to the viral lab in Wuhan.
This was many years ago. And it's published in three languages, okay? And this was the piece of information that the federal judges and the FDA used to force the manufacturers of baby formulas, Enfamil and Similac, to put these nutrients in the baby formulas. So there's only three minerals in the baby formulas. You need 60. And that's why babies were dying of sudden death syndrome. They weren't dying. Mothers weren't laying on the babies. But doctors said mothers are laying on the babies. No, that was a big lie. All those doctors who said babies are dying from sudden death syndrome because they're being laid on by their mothers, they should go to jail, okay? Because it was a deficiency of a single nutrient, which we forced them to put in there. A year and a half later, big headlines in the Charlotte Observer front page, like Third World War. We don't know why, but sudden death syndrome has vanished in the state of North Carolina. Then 3 months later, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch came out and said the same thing. 3 months later, every newspaper in the world came out and said, we don't know why, but the diagnosis of sudden death syndrome has dropped by 85 to 95% all over the world.
Now, when you say, though, that exercise is no good for you, are you saying extreme exercise? Because a little bit is, I would guess, is fine, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I walk 3 miles a day, George. I walk.
Oh, that's exercise.
Yeah, I walk. But see, but I've been taking 90 essential nutrients for 74 years.
So you're getting your 7,000 steps in with that, at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I walk 1 mile in the morning, say an hour after breakfast, then 2 hours after I'm finishing up my radio every afternoon. It's about 2:30, so I do another mile. And then an hour after dinner, I do another mile. I do 3 miles. And, of course, I take all my supplements.
Now, if you ran that 3 miles, would that hurt you as opposed to walking the 3 miles?
No, because, you know, when I was in junior high and high school, I was already gluten-free and taking the 90. And junior high, high school, and University of Missouri, I lettered in football. I only weighed 110 pounds. I lettered in football. I lettered in wrestling because we're running all the time, climbing up the ropes, doing push-ups, every kind of exercise you can think of, dumbbells, barbells, you name it. And everybody else is getting injuries and sick, but I wasn't, because I was the only one who's gluten-free, I wasn't eating oatmeal for breakfast. I was eating wild rice for breakfast and sweet potatoes for breakfast.
How did you know that at that age?
Ah, okay. When I was 4 years old, I became very violent. When I was 4 years old, I'm throwing bales of hay when I'm 4 years old, so I'm very strong. And I'm knocking down adults in church and kicking them in the head and stuff like that, and it got worse and worse and worse. By the time I'm 9 years old, my parents had taken me to see 20 different doctors, 20 different pediatricians. They didn't have a name for what I had back then. Excuse me. And I was very violent. And this little old grandmotherly, she had to be in her 80s, pediatrician by the name of Mary Jane Skeffington. I'll never forget her name. And she said, we have to institutionalize him. He's going to hurt himself or somebody else.
Oh, my God.
And so she was the 20th doctor in 5 years that my parents had taken me to. And she didn't know what it was, but she said, we're going to have to institutionalize him so we can find out what's going on here before he hurts himself or somebody else. Well, I didn't like that. When I'm 9 years old, I didn't want to be put in an institution for the rest of my life, which my mom said might happen because they didn't figure it out. And so I'm thinking, well, all the animals on our farm, they're eating the same thing we're eating. They don't have the problem. My mom and dad don't have the problem. Oh, and wait a minute. We're giving these animals these alfalfa pellets with all these vitamins and minerals in it. So the next morning, while we're packing my bags to go to the institution, we throw all the Cheerios and oatmeal and stuff like that into the garden for the chickens. I go to the barn. I get these pellets with the vitamins and minerals in it. I took them for breakfast every morning with milk on them, the alfalfa pellets with the vitamins and minerals, put milk on them for breakfast. In 3 days' time, I was cured.
They put you in an institution, though, or a home?
They were going to. Yeah, they were going to. It was all set up.
How'd you escape?
Well, I took my vitamins and minerals, and I cured myself.
You calmed down?
Oh, yeah, it was perfectly normal. I didn't say anything to anybody.
And you think that, well, obviously something happened. It helped you.
Oh, yeah. Well, within 6 weeks' time at church, everybody's whispering and pointing at me because I'm not disrupting everything anymore.
Would you would disrupt the church services in those things?
Oh, yeah.
It's like Tourette syndrome or something, huh?
Well, it was a combination of Tourette syndrome, autism, you name it. I had like four or five of those different diseases. But they all went away in 3 days because I took...
You ate pellets.
Alfalfa pellets that were meant for calves and goats and sheep and stuff like that had the vitamins and minerals in them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so I cured myself. And so, again, by the time I was 9 years old, and it's funny, about 6 weeks' time, this little old lady came up to me in church. She says, I hear you can cure my diabetes. I said, ma'am, I'm only 9 years old. I don't even know what diabetes is. But I went home that day, and because when you have a farm, you don't have health insurance for animals. You have these books, and they have all these diseases in them. And so I went and I looked up diabetes and said it was a simple nutritional deficiency disease, these nutrients. And so I told her, and she went to the health food store and got those nutrients, and she was cured of diabetes a couple of weeks. And the story got out. And so suddenly now I'm 9 years old and I'm seeing all these people for their health problems. And so that's how my health excursion started.
That's dramatic. CriticalHealthNews.com, that's the website, of course. The number to call when Doc gets rolling here with some of his advice for you and the callers, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Doc, one quick question. While we're coming up to a break, I want to ask you this, but let me give you the question. I want you to think about it and answer it when we come back. And that is, a lot of people who are trying to fight COVID-19 are taking ivermectin, the horse warmer, and some people claim they're getting sick. Other people claim it's working. I'll tell you a little story when I come back, but give us your thoughts about that. And again, the website is criticalhealthnews.com. Doc Wallach with us from criticalhealthnews.com. His toll-free number, 1-855-949-RADIO. Back with your calls on Coast to Coast AM.